الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم يعرض الذين كفروا على النار أذهبتم طيباتكم في حياتكم الدنيا واستمتعتم بها فاليوم تجزون عذاب الهون بما كنتم تستكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق وبما كنتم تفسقون صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected علماء, elders and brothers, in this particular time, there are many, many aspects and issues that one can discuss. Just to run through a few of them, the signaling of the month of Muharram would mean that another year has passed. One is the coming of Muharram, the coming of the new Islamic year, signals to us very, very clearly that time is passing. And when time goes on, you and I need to make some preparations for the ongoing process of this life, for the hereafter, and to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, we will find business people, working class, at the end of every financial year, we have to take stock. Stock of our amal is what we call muhasabah. We need to see how much we have broken the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make amends, make tawbah. The good that we have done, make shukr and dua that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grants us ikhlas and Allah accepts it. And Allah give us the steadfastness to continue. Then we also know that the new Islamic year is linked with the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam coming to Medina Tayyibah brought about an Islamic state and it brought strength to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course, the day of Ashura in itself also is a very significant day. And we have heard from time to time that this was the day that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had granted Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam emancipation from the clutches of Fir'aun. And then again, the month of Muharram itself is a month which is regarded as the sacred months of Islam. In the month of Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken the life of a very, very great personality. One we all know, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have heard from time to time that there is no human on this earth that can justify the brutal assassination, murder of the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only can it not be justified, but perhaps Karbala, the 10th of Muharram, was the saddest day in the history of mankind. that the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the grandson of the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was brutally assassinated. He was two-timed. They had been disloyal to him. They brought him into a situation. And of course, him and the family were all assassinated gruesomely, mercilessly. That can never ever be justified by any means whatsoever. But friends, if we can learn one lesson from Karbala, let us take one lesson with us home and ask ourselves the reason. You and I will never give up our lives for anything except that which is most dear to us. We will not be prepared to give our lives away. There is a hijack, Allah save us. We'll give our car but leave us. We'll give our jewelry but leave us. We'll give whatever. When and what is the criteria of giving life? Not only our lives, but the lives of our families. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu has shown this ummah an example that when we have to stand for haqq, when we have to stand for the deen of Allah, when we have to stand against zulm and oppression, when we have to stand against guna, I will give my blood will flow. Brothers, we don't need to do it for anyone else. Do it for ourselves. That let us also put that knife through our own nafs, through our own desires, and let us also become obedient to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So also together with that, the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also given on the 1st of Muharram. And brothers, Allah knows best, but when the whole issue of the Islamic calendar had come into being, what should mark the beginning of the Islamic calendar, all was done in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his khilafat. And then the first day of the Islamic calendar witnesses the demise of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When we look at the life of Sayyidina Umar, not the historic life, but when we look at the various traits and personalities of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, perhaps at this time of the year, the beginning of the Gregorian year, the beginning of the Islamic year, it is something that you and I can implement and bring into our lives, something that we can keep till the day we leave this world. We all know that before Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had left this world, he had performed Hajj, and on his return from Makkah Mukarrama, some narrations suggest it was in Mina, others have narrated thereafter, he progressed towards Madina Munawwara, he moved and travelled towards Madina Munawwara, and one night Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu lies down, all he has is his cloth, his chadar, which Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu places under his head. And as he lies, his eyes falls on the moon. And this is the lesson that you and I need to take. He addresses the moon saying, and he addresses himself at the same time, O moon, you are but fading. We know that the moon loses its shine, it loses its brilliance as it departs from the 14th moon. You are once so strong, so bright, and you lose your glow and then you come towards your brightness. He turns to Allah and he says, O Allah, Umar ibn Khattab is becoming weak. You have entrusted him with a great empire. But perhaps the time may dawn on Umar ibn Khattab when he will not be able to do justice to the Islamic hukumat. Brothers, these words should
should be written in gold in our hearts. Allah has given us hukumat. Allah has given us some form of governance. Sometimes we get the petticoat government also. But Allah Rabbul Izzat has given us governance in our homes. Allah has given us governance in our businesses. Allah has given us sometimes in the greater extended family. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is showing us that there should never be an occasion where injustice is done. There should never be the time when we break the commandment because of that amanat that Allah has granted us. Nonetheless, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu proceeds towards Madina Tayyiba. He comes to Medina, and in Medina, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sees a dream. A cock pecking his stomach. And he himself interprets the dream that this means the end of my life. This means that I will be assassinated. On one occasion, a person by the name of Firouz Abu Lu'lu, who was Persian, according to some narrations he was a Christian, some say he was a Zoroastrian, he was a fire worshipper. He was the slave of Mughira ibn Shu'ba. He comes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu with a complaint that his master Mughira ibn Shu'ba is leaving him with a sum of money which he feels is too much. And Amirul Mu'mineen needs to look into this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him his occupation. This person was a tradesman, he was a carpenter, he was a builder, and he used to make hand mills to grind. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to him, Firouz Abu Lu'lu, what you are doing nobody else does in the whole of Arabia. The manufacturing of the hand mill is done only by you. And that levy of the 2 dirhams is very insignificant for the income that you are earning. So Abu Lulu says to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen, I will also make you a hand mill. Such a hand mill that I have never manufactured before. And it will be something that will be remembered in the history of this ummah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had understood that this man is speaking a different language. He had understood that this is no hand mill to grind any grain or flour, but this is the hand mill that he made was a dagger which he had poisoned. And we know thereafter, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes for the Fajr Salat, and as he performs the Salat, Abu Lu'lu leaps forward. He stabs Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Amirul Mu'mineen falls. Before he falls, he brings forward Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu to complete the Salat, to show that the namaz will carry on, deen will continue, even if Umar ibn Khattab is leaving this world. Now when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to that stage of what we'll call maradul maut, the stage before he left the world, he used to be in a state of unconsciousness, and sometimes he used to come into the state of consciousness. It was an intermediate situation with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At that time, one great sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says to Hazrat Umar, O Amirul Mu'mineen, listen and hear the glad tidings of Jannah. Listen to the glad tidings of Jannah. Of course, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the mufassir of the Quran. He was not speaking from his own accord. He was not sucking something out of his thumb, but he was doing this on the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we all know, was amongst those 10 Sahaba, the Ashara Mubashara, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam outside today Masjid al-Nabawi, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umaru fil Jannah, Nabi alayhi salam gave the glad tidings to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he will be in Jannah. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sits in his majlis and he begins to recall either the Mi'raj or a dream that he had seen, and he speaks about going into Jannah and witnessing this marvelous palace, and he says, I asked, whose palace is this? So the reply was given that this is the palace of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is sitting in the majlis. He hears, brothers, one is to be given the glad tidings of Jannah. One is to be given the glad tidings of your palace in Jannah. So he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did you not enter it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umar, I notice at the door a damsel, a hoor, and I understood your modesty, hence I turned away. He said, Ya Rasulullah, but you should have entered the palace. That same Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stated, that if there was a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab. The same Umar ibn Khattab is on his deathbed. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, under authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is giving Umar ibn Khattab the glad tidings that you are going to leave this world. And Jannat will become yours. And then he goes on and he says, that Umar, it was through you that Allah had given victory to this ummah. It was through you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had caused cities to be occupied with the mu'mineen and the believers, in which the ibadat of deen took place, in which the Qur'an-i-Kareem was recited and taught, in which deen and the amal of deen became alive. It was because of you. You warded away kufr. You stemmed the tide of hypocrisy. O Amirul Mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you that great honor. And then you were the companion of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to say, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is justifying his opening statement that leave everything else. Outwardly Allah has shown you that Allah will grant you Jannat. Brothers, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had known. He heard the glad tidings of Jannah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had known, and he heard about his palace in Jannat. Now, the month of Zulhijjah comes to an end. The life of Umar ibn Khattab is coming to an end. Look at the kind of attitude, look at the ruhaniyat, the spirituality, or if we wish, the fikr and concern of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time. He says to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Abdullah, if Umar ibn Khattab had owned this whole world and whatever it contained, in one narration, all of it in gold, and if Umar ibn Khattab could place that in front of Allah as ransom, so that Umar ibn Khattab does not witness the gruesome punishment of the Akhirah, he will be thankful to Allah. In other words, even at that time, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu has one concern, that we cannot outrule, we cannot rule out the azab of Allah at this particular time. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his own son, he says, before the demise of my father, he said to us that when you bring my coffin, make sure it is not of a very good quality. Why? Because if it is of a very good quality, the possibility is that because of the doings of Umar ibn Khattab, it will be removed from his body and his body will be thrown from side to side. Do not dig my qabr very wide. Why? Because if I am deserving of a good akhirat, then Allah will expand it himself. And if not, then Allah will cause the walls of the qabr to come together to crush the ribs of Umar ibn Khattab. Brothers, this was not the belief or the kind of thinking of Umar ibn Khattab only on his deathbed. Once he enters Masjid al-Nabawi, one qari of the Qur'an al-Kareem was reciting one ayah, وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ أَذْهَبُتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَفْسُقُونَ. The general meaning of the ayah, وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Brothers, many of us will understand that here Allah is speaking about the kuffar. وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. On that day, remember that day when the disbelievers will be presented to the fire of Jahannam. Brothers, we all can understand that the ayah is referring to the disbelievers. They will be told, أَذْهَبُتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. They will be addressed, you had passed your life in this world, and in that world, in the material world, أَذْهَبُتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ, you had taken out the good of your life, you had taken out the good of your earnings, وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا, you had derived benefit. Allah had given you everything, and you utilized everything in the world, so that you will have a better life, so that you will forget the commandments of Allah, and you will move further and further away from the ibadat of Allah. You will move further and further away from iman. Al-yawma tujzawna adhab al-hoon. And today you will be given the punishment of disgrace because of your arrogance and your transgression that you had committed on the earth. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu hears this ayah. And what happens to Hazrat Umar? He begins to cry. It comes in the narration that the face and the beard of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was filled with his tears. To this extent that the tears began to drip down on the chadar, on the lungi of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He sits down, falls onto the ground. Now one person asks him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, why do you behave like this? Why are you crying like this? The ayah refers to the disbelievers. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, asks that person, do you have any guarantee that Umar ibn Khattab will die in the state of iman? Do you have any guarantee that Umar ibn Khattab will die in the state of iman? Brothers, this is something that all of us need to bring into our lives. We heard often that pious, saintly personality that was asked, are you better or the dog is better? Who is better in the eyes of Allah? So he said, death will tell. Death will tell. If I die on iman, I am better than that dog. And if I die in the state of kufr, Allah forbid, then that dog is better than me, it didn't renegade. Our asatiza used to always tell us that we are like those young boys whose parents try to motivate them towards studying for the school examination. And the father says to the son, my young man, if you pass your examination and you come out first, I will give you a bicycle. Today it's different. It may be the M3. Tomorrow it will be a rocket. So what the young boy does, he begins to learn to ride a bicycle. I am going to get a bicycle, but he forgets if I pass and come out first. So now he busy prepares himself learning how to ride a bicycle. He forgets to study and alas he fails. Like that, we hear alhamdulillah about the great, great ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirat. But we forget there is an imtihan, there is an ongoing test, the test of iman, the test of our amal, the test of our deen that we first need to pass before we begin to prepare to ride our bicycle. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that personality we have heard time and time again that will go to Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had the names of all the munafiqeen. And he will say to Huzaifa, do not divulge the list, but tell me, is the name of Umar ibn Khattab in that list? Thereafter, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu responds to the second remark Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had made, that Allah has granted futuhat and Allah has granted victory at your hands. Many, many cities became inhabited with the ummah. Many, many people began to perform salat. Many masjids, madrasas were put up. The deen of Allah became alive. And all this because in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, O Abdullah, the wish and the desire of Umar ibn Khattab is this, that Allah neither rewards him nor Allah punishes him for that. In other words, everything is contrary in our words. The good and the bad, Allah doesn't look at the bad. Allah Rabbul Izzah says everything is maaf, clean slate. Who is saying this? One of the most just personalities in the history of mankind. Brothers, when we speak of the justice of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I'll just give you one example. Once he's coming towards the masjid, a man and a woman is conversing, they are speaking outside the masjid, basically on the street. See? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has a lash in his hand. He says to this person, that how dare you speak on the street in this manner? The man justifies it. And he says that, O Amirul Mu'mineen, this is my wife. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu lashes him, one lash. And he says, Is this the place you find to speak to your wife? Think about it, brothers. We'll speak to ghair mahram. Is this the place you find to speak to your wife? Then the person defends himself and he says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, we are from out of Medina, we have just entered Medina, we are discussing our options of our accommodation in Medina. We've got no place to stay. We understand what you are saying, husband and wife, we should be speaking in the privacy of our rooms, of our homes. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu takes his lash, whoop, he gives it to that person and he says, equally lash me and retaliate. The person refuses. Sayyidina Umar commands him the second time, the third time, and the person says to Amirul Mu'mineen, I have made you maaf, I have forgiven you. Brothers, that was the caliber of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There's a famine, a drought, a scarcity of food in Medina Tayyibah. In the period of the scarcity, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu does not eat any food of luxury. He does not eat anything but just dry bread and crumbs. Then how can Umar ibn Khattab eat when the people of Medina are impoverished and in hunger? At that time, it comes in one narration, either him or somebody had seen Nabi alayhi salatu was salam in a dream and said to the person, tell Amirul Mu'mineen to resort abundantly in dua and Allah will relieve the ummah of this condition. Sayyidina Umar gathers all the believers. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who is called forward. And he tells Hazrat Abbas, O uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you lift your hands. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Allah, this is the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is still continuing with his dua. O Allah, let the rains fall, and it begins to rain. Brothers, in that halat, he refused to eat. That was the Khalifa and the caliber of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What will be my halat? What will be your halat? That Allah has given us some form of authority. Allah has given us some form of governance. More often than not, we abuse the status. We abuse that governance that Allah has given. We openly break the command of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Respected and dear friends, take the lesson from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that never mind, Allah has given me all this, but the hisab and kitab by Allah is of such a nature, that my errors will be shown out, and perhaps my gunas and my wrongs will be more than the good that had been done. And then he says to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah, as for the third statement you had made, that I was a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how I cherish those moments. How I cherish those moments that I was with the Nabi of Allah. And perhaps because by virtue of being a Sahabi and a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perhaps Allah Rabbul Izzat may forgive me. Brothers, before he leaves the world, he's on the lap of his son Abdullah ibn Umar. He says to Abdullah, remove my head from your lap and place it on the bare ground. Abdullah ibn Umar is reluctant to do this. He knows these are the last moments of his father's life. And he shows his reluctance. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reiterates, Abdullah, remove my head from your lap and place it onto the ground. And Abdullah ibn Umar understood there are no options. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu puts his head on the ground, he begins to say that Umar and his mother will be destroyed if Allah did not forgive Umar ibn Khattab. Respected and dear friends, the day of Ashura, the month of Muharram, the new Islamic year, the movement of time, should make us wonder and think about the time when we are all also going to face Allah. We take stock. Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Make muhasaba. Take stock of our amal. Take stock of our doings in the courts of Allah. That we are going to be questioned by Allah. And before being questioned by Allah, let us also understand that there are occasions and times we break the commandment of Allah. Let us make tawbah, let us make istighfar. Let us not be complacent with regards to meeting Allah Rabbul Izzat. We hear all the time, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has taken the qasam of time. Allah wants to show us the importance of time. If you make qadar of time, like Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi used to say to the people, that when I witnessed the people before you, sahaba ikiram, what was most important to them, how they utilized the time. Brothers, time moves in, time and moves on. Somebody has said that this English year of 2008 will see three Islamic years. The year that passed, this year, and the new Islamic year. Brothers, it is all moving. Let us understand that time is moving and we are moving towards our qabr. Unfortunately, many of us have the misconcept with regards to Ashura. We think and we feel it is a day in which we mourn the demise, the sad assassination and brutal murder of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But my beloved friends, we also need to understand that in the history of Islam, we had found that there were those who willingly gave their lives for the sake of Allah. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was poisoned to death. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred on the battlefield. What was the state and condition of their father, Hazrat Ali karramallahu wajhahu? The riwayat is in Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, a lengthy riwayat, I'll condense it. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out, he emerged. Hazrat Ali and some other sahaba were standing around. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked one question, who is the most wicked of people in the people of the past? So sahaba replied, Allahu wa rasuluhu alam. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, it is that person whose name is Qidar. The person who hamstrung and killed that miraculous camel that Allah Rabbul Izzat had caused to emerge from the mountains in the time of Hazrat Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam inquired, who is the most wicked person in my ummah? So sahaba again replied, Allahu wa rasuluhu alam. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows best. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and he said, O Ali, it will be the person that assassinates you. I know his name. And it is as though I can see how he strikes his sword in the one narration on your head, in the other narration on the upper part of your face, which could also mean the head. And it is as though I can see the sword piercing your skin and the blood oozing out and filling your beard. It comes in one narration, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had known who his assassinator was or will be. Some time before he passed away, this person, Abdul Rahman ibn Maljam, the assassinator of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes to Hazrat Ali, he asked him for a conveyance Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu lends him his horse. After he takes the horse, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to the people that if anybody is going to assassinate me, it's going to be this person. Once Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was on the minbar of the Jami Masjid in Kufa, and people were asking, like how we have Q&A, somebody asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what is the meaning and who does Allah imply in the ayat, رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَذِرُ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. There are men in this ummah who fulfilled their covenant, their pledge that they had made with Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَذِرُ. They are those who have completed this covenant, and they are those who are waiting to fulfill this covenant. What is the meaning of this ayah, O Amirul Mu'mineen? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the covenant, the promise and the pledge that these people have taken with Allah is that they will give their lives in the path of Allah. They will give their lives in the path of Allah. Brothers, we don't need to give our lives in the path of Allah, but at least we can give up all our haram passions, our haram desires for the sake of Allah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, those who had fulfilled this covenant is like my uncle Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. They had given their lives, the shuhada of Uhud and the other shuhada. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَذِرْ. And from amongst them there is those who wait for the covenant to be fulfilled. He said, perhaps it is Ali ibn Abi Talib. The night before he leaves the world, he comes out, he emerges from his room. He looks out into the sky and he says, Ali had never lied, and nor was a lie spoken to Ali. Brothers, what can we say about Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu? There's one narration that when a person looks at Hazrat Ali's face, immediately he will say, La ilaha illallah. Reminds us of that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that those Ahlullah, those people of Allah, that when you look at their faces, you remember Allah. Sayyidina Ali, Muhaddithin have written, was a living example on the surface of this earth. That wherever he emerged from, wherever he was, whoever looked at the face of Hazrat Ali would remember Allah saying, La ilaha illallah. So he said, I never lied in my life, and nor was a lie spoken to me. The Nabi of Allah has spoken the truth. This is the promised night. The morning he leaves for Fajr, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a little distance away from him. Abdul Rahman ibn Maljam attacks Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and when he strikes the blow on the face or the head of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Ali falls. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, exactly as per the description of my grandfather. Exactly how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Medina Tayyiba gave the description of how he will be assaulted, of how the sword will penetrate his body, and the oozing of the blood coming upon his beard and thereafter down trickling down his body. Exactly I seen the picture when I seen my father at that time. Brothers, what was important? When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala falls onto the ground, in this riwayat it is stated, he made one proclamation for the whole ummah to remember, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba. I have been successful, Qasam of Allah, the Rabb of the Kaaba. So brothers, martyrdom in Islam is not something that we need to mourn year in and year out. It is something that needs to be aspired by every believer, every mu'min. Every believer should have this aspiration that, oh Allah, give me that opportunity so I can give my life in your path. As far as the day of Ashura is concerned, amongst the great benefit of this day is that we find that before the fasting of the month of Ramadan, this was a compulsory fast, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded Sahaba also to keep this roza. This was the day when Allah Rabbul Izzat emancipated us, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Jews also fasted. And when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had come to know very, very briefly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that we will do differently. Either we attach today's fast to the Ashura's fast, which is tomorrow, or either we fast tomorrow the fast of Ashura, and together with that we add the fast of Sunday, to simplify it. Brothers, this is meritorious. It has been the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if anything, we should try and keep this roza, we should try and fast. There is also that narration that we hear all the time, that that person that spreads the dastarkhan on the day of Ashura for his family, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him his rosy, like how he spread it out, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will also spread it out. My respected and beloved friends, let us just summarize. Time is very, very short. We are all going to be leaving this world. We are all going to face Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. As these days pass, the year comes in and year goes out, we should understand and realize that this is the token of time. This is a message from Allah Jalla Shanuhu, that time is moving on. Let us make tawbah, let us make istighfar, and let us become obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and let us seek from Allah the dua that, oh Allah, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, without hisab and kitab, grant us Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa laqibatu lil muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, wa ala alihi tahirin wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأحبابنا ولأقاربنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم اجرنا من النار اللهم اجرنا من النار اللهم اجرنا من النار اللهم انا نسالك الجنه وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شد ما استعاذك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم هذا الدعاء وإليك الإجابة وهذا الجهد وعليك التكلان ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.